You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with Mirut Franková. As you have heard, the incumbent Czech president Miloš Zeman has won the first round of presidential election with a little over 38% of the votes. His rival in the second round will be Jiří Drahoš, a former head of the Czech Academy of Sciences, who finished second with over 26% of the votes. We now bring you profiles of the two candidates for the presidential post, and we start with the incumbent Miloš Zeman. Chris Johnston has more.
Current President Miloš Zeman could be described as the comeback kid of Czech politics. Of course, Zeman, as the second oldest candidate of the nine contenders standing this time round at 73, might well disagree with that description. But after he withdrew from top Czech politics for 7 years in 2003, Zeman came back with a bang. He formed his own political party, very much his personal vehicle, which just failed to get into parliament. And in the first direct elections to head of state in 2013, Zeman, the so-called Vysočina pensioner after his country home retreat, got to where he believed he belonged, Prague Castle. But Zeman was not happy with the presidential job as he found it, and believed that the task and job description should be reformulated on the strength of the over 2.7 million votes and near 55% support he received from citizens in the second round of voting last time round. Zeman has frequently spoken of his admiration for former President Charles de Gaulle, a French statesman who remodelled the constitution to his liking and, with a majority parliamentary party behind him, was undoubtedly the main mover and shaker in the land of 246 different kinds of cheese. Not being the leader of a government party, Zeman simply does not have that sort of power. But over the last 5 years, Zeman has sought to stretch his constitutional powers to the limit, and some might say, well, beyond the limits. When you picture Zeman and the constitution, you can almost picture the Incredible Hulk bursting out of his clothes. Zeman has made no secret that he always envisaged himself as an active president, and that did not, in his vocabulary, mean filling the ceremonial functions and cutting ribbons. He meant to be in the political thick of it, and to the politicians often elbowed aside, Zeman simply pointed to his direct mandate from the Czech people and asked how many votes they had received. The Czech president's powers are clearest when a new government has to be formed, and faced with this scenario three times, Zeman has made the most of it. He first shoehorned in a caretaker government of his former industry minister, Jiří Rusnok, when the centre-right Civic Democrats claimed they had sufficient support in parliament to form a government to replace that of their former leader, Petr Nečas. After the 2013 election, Zeman kept Social Democrat leader Bohuslav Sobotka waiting 3 months before appointing him prime minister. Contrast that with the relatively rapid and smooth nomination of current Prime Minister Andrej Babiš, although his party on its own falls well short of a parliamentary majority. Zeman also chose to interpret the constitution his way. When last year Prime Minister Sobotka threatened the resignation of the government, Sobotka believed that his resignation meant the whole government fell. Zeman begged to differ, with the resulting meeting between President and Prime Minister sparking a now famous scene where Zeman pointed his walking stick at Sobotka and a microphone, urging him to make the announcement. Most constitutional experts said they believed Sobotka was in the right. Zeman had some accounts to settle with Sobotka and other Social Democrats leaders from his failed attempt to become president in 2003. Then the electorate was just Senate and lower house lawmakers, and the Social Democrats should have been able to push through their candidate if key supporters hadn't strayed. Zeman has the reputation of having a long memory and doesn't like to leave unsettled accounts. In the latest election campaign, Zeman has refused to rub shoulders with the other candidates or appear in television and other debates with them. He argues that his previous 5-year record speaks adequately for itself. In one recent interview, he maintained that, like in any other profession, you needed to be a politician to be president. Zeman said former Civic Democrat Prime Minister and rival candidate Mirek Topolánek had the experience but had not done a good job in the past, and he gave another candidate, Pavel Fischer, half marks. Zeman added that he would describe himself as president, former Prime Minister, leader of the Social Democrats, and otherwise as a former prognostic, a member of an economic forecasting institution. One of his greatest achievements was to take the Social Democrats from a small marginalised party into an election winner, capable of attracting a third of Czech popular support. As Prime Minister, Zeman headed one of the few Czech governments that actually saw out its full term by the middle of 2002, and he pushed through a series of key privatisations. Zeman says that with old age, he's a lot calmer, quieter, and not so full of himself. Otherwise, he perhaps half-joked that he might be described as an arrogant boor. The president's critics might point to some of his recent outbursts and argue the latter description still holds good. Zeman's presidential turns of phrase include using the shockingly crude language in connection with the Russian group Pussy Riot, commenting to Russian President Vladimir Putin that journalists should be shot, and recommending a toast with the same fate for teetotalers and non-smokers. In foreign affairs, one of the president's areas of competence, he has enthusiastic push for the reset of Prague's relations with China by ignoring human rights and other problematic issues. Zeman also controversially commented that Russia's annexation of Crimea is now a fait accompli and that sanctions against Moscow simply haven't worked. More generally, he justified his fairly close relations with leaders with dubious democratic credentials, arguing that as a president, he can make a difference in meetings at such a level and with such people. He has been credited with foresight in being the sole European leader to back Donald Trump in the US election campaign when most others kept quiet or had written off the Republican candidate. Snubbed by former President Obama, Zeman had little to lose. And in spite of his backing, Zeman failed to see it translate into a visit to the White House, although he said he'd been invited. Controversy also surrounds many of Zeman's Prague Castle team and the wide circle of outside advisers, often with business interests. At the end of 5 years and frequent promises, his head of office, Vratislav Minár, still does not have the security clearance many believe is needed to do the job. His spokesman, Jiří Ovčáček, has become infamous for his doublespeak and attacks on Zeman's critics, so much so that a play dedicated to the spokesman was a local hit success. And the president's former head of protocol was forced to resign after reports of drug use and half-naked encounters with men. But Miloš Zeman's record and his team is probably not his weakest point. While still put in the polls as the front-runner and the man to beat, Zeman's physical health is the big question mark. In spite of his doctor's protest, there are no worries. He looked drawn and exhausted during a May trip to China and other official visits to Vietnam and Kazakhstan. His aides blamed the exhausting programmes and his ongoing problem with diabetes. Zeman's infamous stumbling and glassy-eyed appearance at a viewing of the Czech crown jewels in May 23, blamed on an infection, still haunts him. With that in mind, he could just be one false step away from the presidency.
Chris Johnston with this profile of the incumbent Miloš Zeman, who is running for a second term in office. Jiří Drahoš, a former head of the Czech Academy of Sciences and a university chemistry professor, is considered to be the most serious rival to the incumbent Miloš Zeman in the presidential race. Mr. Drahoš is running as an independent candidate and has collected more than 140,000 signatures in his support. With his pro-NATO and pro-European views and reserved manners, Drahoš stands in stark contrast to the current head of state. In his program, he promises to respect the Constitution, to promote family and education, and to reopen Prague Castle to the public. Jiří Drahoš was among the first to announce his bid for the presidency in March 2017, just 4 days after he stepped down from the post of the head of the Czech Academy of Sciences.
Já bych vám chtěl všem oznámit, že budu kandidovat na funkci prezidenta republiky.
Drahoš made the announcement to run for president in his hometown of Jablunkov in North Moravia. He said the main reasons for his candidacy were worries about the state of Czech democracy, growing extremism and a certain apathy he felt among Czechs towards basic democratic values. 6 months after he entered the race, Drahoš collected over 140,000 votes, the highest number of all the candidates. Although he's running as an independent, Drahoš has the support from the mayors and Independence Party, STAN, as well as the Christian Democratic Party. Speaking in an interview for the Czech television, Jiří Drahoš said he offers a unique combination as a scientist, rational thinking manager, and a person who is used to communicate with politicians and top state officials.
Mám jasnou představu České republiky jako...
I have a clear image of the Czech Republic as a democratic state with proud and self-confident citizens, a state which can take care of the weaker ones and provide equal protection and equal benefits in relation to the law. I want a secure state relying on its membership of NATO and a modern state which stresses education and the creativity of all its citizens, regardless of their level of education. It is a state which is not bureaucratic, which is here for its citizens and not for itself. And finally, it's a state that nurtures its culture and natural resources and ensures that it hands it over to the next generation in better shape.
Svým potomkům v lepším stavu, než je přebral.
Born on the 20th February 1949 in Český Těšín in North Moravia, Jiří Drahoš spent most of his childhood in Jablunkov, where his mother lived and worked as a nurse. His father, also named Jiří, was a teacher. He studied at the University of Chemistry and Technology in Prague, and in 1972 he joined the Institute of Chemical Process Fundamentals at Czech Academy of Sciences. In March 2009, Drahoš was elected president of the Academy, one of the country's biggest and most prestigious scientific institutions, and ended his second term in the office in March 2017. He has published more than 70 original papers and is the co-inventor of 10 international and 10 Czech patents. In 2012, he was awarded the State Medal of Merit of the first grade for his service and contribution to science. According to political analyst Jiří Pehe, Drahoš is first of all a decent candidate with moderate views, which are qualities that stand in stark contrast to what Mr. Zeman represents.
That is perhaps his most prominent quality, that he is just the opposite of Mr. Zeman, who is abrasive, quite often arrogant and vulgar. So I think that that is what makes Mr. Drahoš a formidable candidate, because although he doesn't have a lot of political experience, he is, from the sort of human point of view, he's a candidate that many people can imagine as the next president. And on top of that, I think that quite a lot of people are aware of the fact that Czech presidency is constructed constitutionally in such a way that it is really not a difficult job to learn politically. The position of the prime minister is a political position, but the position of the president really is not political in its essence. So I think that given the example of Slovakia, where a non-politician, Mr. Kiska, became a very successful president, the lack of political experience is not to Mr. Drahoš's disadvantage.
According to Jiří Drahoš, the president's role is first of all to cultivate the political scene and represent the country abroad in a dignified manner. He should openly declare that the Czech Republic is part of the Western world and highlight the necessity to be part of the European Union. Drahoš opposes a referendum about Czech membership in the European Union, arguing that important geopolitical questions should not be decided this way. He wants the Czech Republic to play an active role in discussions over the future of the EU. While he supports European integration, he says the European Union should not impose unnecessary regulations on its member states. He also says that he wouldn't rush into Czech adoption of the single currency euro. In 2014, Drahoš signed a petition called Scientists Against Fear and Hatred, which criticized the growing anti-Islamic radicalism in the country. He also criticized President Zeman's decision to appoint Andrej Babiš as prime minister. No matter whether he wins the next round of the presidential election in 2 weeks' time, Jiří Drahoš has already said he will still be seeking a role in public life in the future. A profile of Jiří Drahoš, who will face the incumbent president Miloš Zeman in the second round of the direct presidential election taking place in a fortnight. And you can, of course, follow the news on presidential elections on our website, that is www.radio.cz. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the English service of Czech Radio. Now, in the final part of our program, we visit an animal rescue service in the Czech Moravian Highlands.
St-
Stanice Pavlov, a highly recognized animal rescue station in the Czech Moravian Highlands, has succeeded after several years of setbacks in successfully breeding a litter of European mink. The European mink is an endangered animal, which has disappeared from most of continental Europe as its natural habitat, wetlands, gradually became more and more rare. And that wasn't the only detrimental factor. I spoke to the director of the Pavlov Rescue Center, Zbyszek Karafiat, who confirmed the four mink young, born in May, were healthy and would soon be named. He told me how the situation for European mink became so precarious.
European mink, once common across the continent, is very much endangered, and the factors which led to this are several. One was the disappearance of wetlands and meadows and floodplain forest. The second factor is that they used to be hunted for their fur, and the third is that they've been driven out and today prevented from returning to the wild by the American mink. The American species was bred on farms for their pelts, but some escaped and bred in the wild. They are twice as big as the European mink and have no natural predator. The European mink was driven out.
The rescue station's director, Zbyszek Karafiat, points out an additional factor that was while American and European mink could mate, the animals are unable to successfully crossbreed. Zbyszek Karafiat again.
The American male chases away the European one and mates and can impregnate the European female, but the embryos never survive but die at a certain point. This badly disrupts the female's reproduction cycle for the year and further leads to dwindling population numbers.
Indeed, the two adult mink kept at Pavlov are the only ones in the entire Czech Republic. The male originally was provided from the zoo in Děčín and the female from the zoo in Tallinn, Estonia, under the European Endangered Species Program. To successfully breed, the animals need to be made to feel secure in their surroundings, and stress can mar even success, with the parents killing the offspring. That was not the case this year.
Last year, the mother killed her young within the space of a week, eating them, so we had to be very careful for that not to happen again. Generally speaking, not enough is known about the reproductive process of these mink, but we know that stress can play a huge role and that they are very susceptible to it. That is what happened before. This year, we were very careful that their keeper was the only one that basically entered their surroundings with food, someone the animals could trust, and the space was left exactly as the animals wanted it, in certain disarray in which they are comfortable. So this year's breeding, we believe, was a success.
What's next for the European mink being raised at Pavlov? Zbyszek Karafiat says the future of the young has yet to be decided, but some of the young, when they are older, will be relocated to different parts of Europe. He said he expected that the females would remain at the station he heads, that under the existing program they would receive a new male for breeding, while the young females would be sent abroad. Of course, the role of the Pavlov Center, as successful as it has been this year, is greater than just raising endangered mink. Zbyszek Karafiat once more.
We serve the entire region of Vysočina, and other animals we are currently caring for include four otters, numerous birds of prey, including an imperial eagle, a peregrine falcon, and a red kite, and many others, including a small population of endangered owls, of which only 70 are left in the wild. Our role is also to teach environmental issues to children and school kids who visit throughout the year. Kids learn about the animals, and we can see about 5,000 visitors each year.
And while the work never ends, those who do work at the animal rescue station are heartened by the fact that locals continue to report when they spot hurt animals or animals in distress, so the specimens can be successfully treated and cared for.
That is our main aim. We can always help, at weekends, on holidays. Right now we're in a period when we most often treat young, from various birds to hares. Sometimes people mistakenly bring young in, so we care for those animals too. Then there are all numbers of rare species which get hurt and likely wouldn't recover on their own. Thanks to people who notice, they have a chance at survival and at returning to the wild.
And if you'd like more information about the Pavlov station, you can find that easily in Czech on the internet.
Zbyszek Karafia, director of the Pavlov Rescue Center, ending that edition of Czech Live by Jan Wellinger, which was first broadcast in June 2014. And that brings us to the end of our program here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that's all for now from Mirut Franková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.